Welcome back to They Reminisce Over You. I'm Christina.
And I'm Miguel. This week we're having a conversation about the album Confessions by Usher. It released on March 23rd, 2004, and tomorrow will be the 20th anniversary of its release. Can you believe it's been 20 years?
Okay, everything to me, if it's 20, it feels like 10. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think it feels like 10, honestly. But it's
like the 90s was 10 years ago, right?
Right. But it's been 20 years since the release of Confessions, so we're going to discuss the impact of the album. We're going to talk about some of the songs, as well as some of the misconceptions about the content of this album. So you want to just get right into it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Confessions was Usher's fourth album. Uh-huh. The two previous albums, My Way and 8701, it kind of placed him in a lane where he was able to transition from just being a player in the world of R&B to becoming a legit pop star.
Wait a minute. Did you just not mention that there was another album before that? The first album?
Well, I just didn't mention it. I just said the two previous albums.
Okay.
I know there was one before it, but I'm just speaking about
all right.
How My Way and 8701... made him okay. Who he was.
I just wanted to make sure we get the full discography.
Yeah, I'm aware that the Usher album exists.
All right.
But Confessions is the one that made him a global superstar. Mm-hmm. Because previously he did have some number one singles. Both albums, My Way and 8701, both made it to number four on the Billboard Hot 200 albums chart. But it was this one that just went everywhere. It was like a bad rash. Everybody had Confessions. It debuted at number one and was the number one album on Billboard 200 for 9 weeks. And to this day has been on the charts for a total of 197 weeks.
That's a lot of weeks.
It is. It was certified diamond in November of 2004. And this is when you actually had to go out and buy physical albums.
Right.
So he's dropping off 10 million in 8 months. That's just crazy to think about, especially when you're thinking about the content of the album.
Yeah. I think we were just starting to, around here we could at least burn albums, but we weren't right. Streaming or anything. Still required some effort to get it illegally.
Yes. So the basis of the album basically deals with relationships, betrayals, regrets, all of that stuff. When you first listen to it, what were your thoughts on the album?
I don't really remember like my first thoughts. I just remember, us assuming this was about Chili and just really liking the album. But I think because I had been a fan already, like I'd been listening to the previous three albums, it wasn't that huge of a departure for me. Like, wow, Usher's doing something different. I just felt like a more complete album than the previous ones.
Yeah, that was the same for me. It was like the first three albums, especially the first one, he was a child
right.
Singing adult songs.
Yes.
Can you get with it? It's just a sexual thing. Like, yeah. You're 12. Shut up.
He was actually, maybe 14? Barely older.
I don't know. He didn't even know what he was singing at the time.
I think he was about 14, but I mean, a child.
Yeah.
He had baby fat in his cheeks.
Exactly. And then the other two albums, it was basically just pop R&B from a teenager and a young man. So I really wasn't expecting real life content from him. Mm-hmm. But this was like, okay, what are you talking about here, man?
He's coming of age.
Yeah. Like, you out here being a fuckboy in these streets and singing songs about it. So that was interesting.
Right.
Because I believe he was, 25 at the time when this came out?
Probably. Somewhere something, in there. Something like that. That sounds about right.
And the fact that he's singing these songs and he's dating a pop star who's just as big, if not bigger than he is, it kind of makes the themes of the album seem believable from the outside.
Right.
But at the same time, the timelines don't match up for it to be believable.
Yeah.
Because it's like she was with him while he was recording the album.
And I was reading a Billboard article with all the different producers and writers on the album, but Jermaine Dupri and Brian Michael Cox was talking about how the big theme of this was we need to tell stories with these songs. And they were saying that not only did they create this story that sounded believable, it was so believable that Chili started to believe it. And she was doing all these interviews and stuff. And Brian Michael Cox is like, she validated the song. She went around and said he did the unthinkable.
Right.
And he was like, but she's tripping because Usher doesn't have a child.
Exactly.
So how could this be about him?
That was my biggest thing, is how could these songs be about him personally?
Right.
When he doesn't even have kids at this point, right. At least none that we knew about.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing for me, and I mentioned this in the episode we did about Usher, mm-hmm. on Confessions Part 1, or the interlude, depending on which version of the album you had. Mm-hmm. He says that he was in L.A. with an ex-girlfriend pretending to work and he was cheating.
Yeah.
But in Confessions Part 2, he says that the girl was somebody he didn't even know.
Right.
That he knocked up. So it can't be both.
Yeah, it can't be an ex-girlfriend and someone he just met.
Yeah, so that told me right there that these are not real songs or real stories.
They are real stories. They're just not his real stories. It was Jermaine Dupri's real story. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is just hilarious. But as both Jermaine Dupri and Brian Michael Cox said, the fact that they got Chilly to believe it really validated and she was there.
She was there the entire time. Yeah,
because now... In these later years, now she says that she was with him at the time and she denies these rumors. But I guess at the time, it started swirling in her head.
This motherfucker. Yeah, I could see how that could be an issue for him. Mm-hmm. Because he's probably explaining to her, these are just stories.
These are just songs.
That Jermaine and Brian are telling and I'm just singing it.
I'm sure... It didn't help the relationship, but...
And their relationship was already coming to an end at this point, too, so...
That's what I meant to say, like, they were already rocky, and I'm sure this didn't help.
Right.
Because when I was reading that interview again, when they were talking about the background for Burn, which is basically, like, the idea of, like, you're in a rocky relationship, and you know that it's not good, but you gotta let it just burn.
Right.
Just burn through to the end. So that was the what's the word I'm looking for?
Motivation.
Close enough. That's not the word, but I will go with that for writing that song.
Come back to you in 12 minutes.
Yes.
When we're talking after about we're done recording. Else. Yeah. The sequencing of the album basically tells the story of a serial cheater. Mm-hmm. The songs kind of bounce back and forth between him getting left by his girl, mm-hmm. begging for her to come back. She comes back. He cheats. She leaves. He begs for her to come back. He comes back, cheats again. So it's basically repeating that cycle like every two or three songs. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I think it's hilarious because it basically describes the life of a 25-year-old. Because that's how at least 25-year-old males think. And I can confirm because I was one of these men. Like, you think you want this, you run off and do something else, come back, and no, I want this over here. Oh, you looked at me? I want you now. So this makes sense for him being his age.
Yeah. I guess also, like, that's why there's something for everyone on this album, too, because you got the party songs, you got, like, the sexy songs, you got the come back to me songs, you got the I love you songs. So it's just, like, a little something for everybody.
And even the party songs, he's talking about how, and yeah, the girl he's cheating with was his girl's friend.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff like that.
Right. Toxic male masculinity songs.
He's just being a real reckless on this album. So with that said, let's get into some of these songs.
Okay.
So depending on which version of the album you got, the track listing is a lot different and some of the songs are different. So the original release was March 23rd and the special edition came out in October. So if you bought the original version, which I had, it didn't have Jadakiss on Throwback. Mm-hmm. Confessions Part 1 was just an interlude. My Boo, Red Light, and Seduction. And I will never hear Seduction the same again.
I know what you're about to say because I'm laughing too.
I was going to the residency in Vegas and this guy just kept yelling out Seduction all night long.
Because he wanted him to sing it so bad. So he would yell out various statements, but it would be like, sing Seduction! Play Seduction!
So those songs were all on the October release.
And unfortunately, though, Usher did not sing Seduction.
He did not.
Despite this fervent request.
This guy did not get what he wanted.
Seduction!
So depending on which version of the album you have, it may play a little bit differently, because now the interlude isn't leading right into Confessions Part 2. Uh-huh. It fades in a little bit differently. Now you have Jadakiss on Throwback. You've got a couple songs added to it. Do you remember which one you had?
See, I don't, for two reasons, though. I feel like, now I feel like I had both, because I don't remember Throwback without Jadakiss. But I remember Confessions Part 1 not being a full song. So now I can't remember which version I had.
And the fact that on streaming services, it has the track listings for the special edition, but the cover for the first edition. So that doesn't help either.
I was going to dig through our CDs and look, but
same.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know for a fact I had the first one.
Okay.
Just because of the cover.
Yeah.
I didn't have the cover with the girl whispering in his ear or whatever.
Okay, so the cover
where he's sitting in the confessional.
Okay.
That's the original.
I have that one. Okay. I remember the, cause I don't even know what you're talking about with the girl.
Yeah. The special edition has him like just shirtless and kind of a girl sitting in the background. Okay. She's kind of blurry.
Okay. So I definitely had that cover. So maybe I've just been listening to it streaming so often, or maybe even just like, I don't know.
So it's the Mandela effect. You think that you had the one with Jadakiss, but you actually didn't?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't remember the song without Jadakiss, but I don't remember the full confession song either. So then like, I must have had the first one then. But yeah, like I said, the cover that you just mentioned, I don't even know what you're talking about. So
I'll show it to you after we're done recording.
Okay.
But yeah, two different covers.
Okay.
So I know for a fact I had the first one.
I'm going to say I had the first one too.
And the first single was Yeah, which really doesn't sound like anything else on the album. So I was really surprised when I got it. Heard Yeah, and then the album goes in a completely different direction for like 10 songs.
Right.
I was not expecting that.
I guess they wanted to start off with a bang.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because Lil Jon was hot around this time.
Yeah, he was hot as fish grease. And Burn was actually supposed to be the first single, but Lil Jon leaked Yeah because I guess he just wanted it to be in the streets.
Yeah.
And it caught on. And the article I read was he leaked it right before the record labels shut down for like Christmas break. So they didn't have a chance to really do anything about it. He gave it to a bunch of DJs across the country and was like, go. And it just took off.
Right.
So they had to end up releasing it as the first single versus Burn. But it worked because, like you said, Lil Jon was probably the hottest thing going producer-wise in 2003 and 2004.
Yeah, Lil Jon was everywhere.
And for those of you who don't know, the original version of Yeah ended up being used by Petey Pablo on Freak a Leak. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why this just came up again recently, because it's blatantly obvious that the two songs are similar. And pretty much any club you were going to, they were mixing from Freak a Leak straight into Yeah, into Sierra's Goodies.
Right.
So I don't know why people are all shocked. Like, I never noticed that the two songs were similar.
Because
like,
they weren't in the clubs in 2004.
Even if you weren't, if you heard it on the radio, how could you be confused about this? Like, the songs are all the same, basically.
I don't know.
But the story goes, Lil Jon sold a bunch of beats to Jive Records. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to be for Mystical. He never did anything with them. The record label gave them to Petey Pablo. He also gave the beats to Usher because nothing was coming of it over on the Jive side. Mm-hmm. So he says he gets a call from L.A. Reid asking him why the hell our song is playing on the radio and Usher's not on it, because eventually Petey Pablo ends up releasing Freak a Leak. L.A. heard it and thought it was Usher and was like, no, something's wrong here. We need to shut this shit down now. So Lil Jon went in and actually remade Freak a Leak. Changed a couple chords and added some keyboard stabs. And that's the Yeah that we now know. But the version of Yeah with the Petey Pablo beat has been out for years. So I'll link to that in our show notes.
Okay.
I mentioned Burn as well. Mm-hmm. This is probably my favorite song on the album.
See, I can't hear Burn without thinking of that American Dad Daddy's Gone song. It's not the same melody, but it's like the same feel. Every time I hear Burn, I just want to laugh. Like, I don't watch American Dad, but that video just kind of made its rounds. And I actually watched it again today just to refamiliarize myself with it. So they're actually in the desert, more like Jodeci, but the song reminds me of Burn.
Right.
So like now I can't take Burn seriously.
I don't watch American Dad either, but I've seen all of like the R&B right. songs that they've done on this show and they're hilarious.
Yeah. Daddy's Gone.
And the guy singing the songs doesn't look like what you think he would look like.
I saw a video of him performing it at like Comic Con.
Right.
And I was like, oh, it's that guy. Cause I can't remember his name, but I've seen him in things before.
But yeah, that's my favorite song on this album. Okay. And I know when we did the episode about Usher, your favorites were Superstar and Follow Me.
Mm-hmm.
And you chose Follow Me as your favorite song. Does that still stand?
You know what? I'm going to go back to Superstar.
Okay.
Follow Me is still a very close second because it's almost like I rediscovered that song. Because I don't think anybody ever really talks about it. Like, that's just not a song that I don't know, I ever hear anybody pop up when they say, what's your favorite song? It's always like Burn, Confession, Superstar, My Boo, whatever.
There was nobody at the concert yelling, follow
no,
me.
No, yeah, there was no one. He didn't sing it. And of course, he performed Superstar, even though it wasn't a single, but he knows it's a fan favorite.
Right.
So yeah, nobody was screaming, follow me, but I just really like it. But yeah, it almost feels like it's quote unquote new to me because it just doesn't seem like anybody talks about it. But I'm going back with Superstar as my favorite, though.
I knew that just because I see how you react whenever it's on.
Yeah.
So that's why I was surprised that you even chose Follow Me the first time.
Yeah, I was probably just in a mood.
Okay.
As I said, I kind of rediscovered it and was just listening to it on repeat for a while.
Yeah.
So I think it was just probably on my mind. Like, hey, this is a really good song.
Yeah, you go into the zone when Superstar comes on.
Yep.
The head starts to roll a little bit. And the Mariah fingers go up.
Yep.
What else do you like on this album?
I mean, pretty much all of it. But in terms of the up-tempo, I actually prefer Caught Up over Yeah.
I can see it. Because it's a different type of song.
Yeah.
Whereas Yeah is just strictly for the clubs.
Yeah, that's like, it's meant to be a hit.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be a hit that everybody likes.
Right.
Whereas Caught Up feels more R&B, hip-hop-ish.
Yeah, it's more in the lane of a Michael Jackson type song. Like, yeah. I can see Michael Jackson doing Caught Up. I definitely can't see Mike doing it. Even though knowing what I know about Michael Jackson now, he probably wanted something like that. Well, because that's all he rolls.
Want the Nori beats?
Yeah, he didn't want the pretty shit that the Neptunes were giving him. He wanted that.
What?
Yeah, that's what he wanted.
I also, as I mentioned already, I really love Throwback with Jadakiss. Yeah. I don't remember it without Jadakiss now, but I think he adds to it.
He does. And I'm disappointed that he didn't grab the mic when we saw him because he was there.
He was there. I guess he was just there to be a fan, though.
Still.
He was there with his wife, you know, just watching. Hey, I thought for sure he was going
to
come up on
stage. He walked right up to him and had the mic there and got nothing from him.
At least give us that.
Something. Give me something.
So in that same article I was reading, Just Blaze was talking about making the beat for this song. And he said he was trying to push Usher into more of like an R&B dance song, whatever. And Usher was just like, I don't want that. And so he was like, okay, you want a rap record? This was for Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
So
on the Mythical Detox album that's never coming out.
Because he was saying how the sample, You're Gonna Want Me Back, was supposed to be like Dre's goodbye, like I'm leaving, but you're gonna want me back.
Right.
But I'm gone. But it ended up working out by turning it into a love lost kind of song. I didn't know that actually until just today. But now that I know that it was originally made for Dr. Dre, when I'm listening to it, I'm like, you know what? I can hear this being for Dr. Dre. Now, I never noticed that before at all. But
yeah, but once it's presented to you, you can see it.
I'm like, okay, I could totally hear this being for Dr. Dre. But it worked out for Usher as well, because this is also one of my favorite songs on the album.
Another one that was one of the singles, My Boo with Alicia Keys.
I find that My Boo is very contentious. People love it or they hate it.
Yeah. And I don't know why. It's not a bad song.
It's not. I'm kind of like right in the middle where I think that I don't like it. And then when I hear it, I like it. Like, let's say I'm listening to the album. My inclination is to want to skip it, but I don't. And then I leave it. And I'm like, oh, I like this song.
The,
I don't know.
The thing that makes me laugh about My Boo is I don't remember exactly when it happened, but the reference track leaked a few years ago and it's been attributed to Beyonce.
Yeah.
For years. And even if you look it up, it still says that it's Alicia Keys, Beyonce, and Usher. And it's not, and it's obviously not Beyonce if you actually listen to it. But when I was just looking for the song on YouTube, I was looking for the video and that just kept popping up. I'm like, man, this is still out here.
Who is it?
It's just like some session singer
that
was singing the reference track for Alicia, and it hit the streets as being Beyonce, and that rumor has never died.
Because I remember seeing it and being like, oh, Beyonce's on here. I'm like, that is not Beyonce.
Exactly. The first time I listened to it, I was tricked into thinking it was Beyonce because I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah.
But the second time I heard it, it was like, this ain't Beyonce. And this is almost 20 years ago, so it definitely wasn't AI. So, like I said, I just think it's still funny that this is still floating around with millions and millions of views across multiple people's uploads, thinking that it's Beyonce.
It is not Beyonce.
If you guys want to do something fun, look up My Boo with Beyonce and read the comments and just look at how many people insist that it's still her.
It is not.
It isn't.
So the official singles was Yeah, Burn, Confessions Part 2, My Boo, and Caught Up. And you know that the album is a great album when you can't remember which ones were the actual singles.
Right.
Because I'm always like, even when I was looking at it, I was like, Caught Up was a release single?
Yeah, it was. It was the last one. And the only one that didn't go to number one.
Yeah.
It peaked at number 8.
And probably for the reasons that we just said, where it's a good up-tempo song, but it doesn't sound like Yeah.
But still, it made it to number 8.
Yeah.
And that's good. People would kill for a number 8.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he's releasing singles that aren't on his album, trying to capitalize on his huge popularity at the time. Between My Boo and Caught Up, Lovers and Friends was released. But it sounds like it could have been on this album. But Lil Jon was like, you know what? I gave you a hit. Now you got to give me one.
Myself. Yep.
So that was another big record. I didn't check to see where that one landed on the charts, but I remember it being played on the radio all the time.
I only checked the Hot 100. It peaked at number 3.
Okay.
So it did pretty good as well.
Hey, it did good enough for Usher to have a festival every summer called Lovers and Friends.
Exactly.
So it made an impact. And it wasn't even on this album. And here we are still talking about it 20 years later.
Exactly. Yeah, so he dominated 2004. So we had talked about this on our original Usher episode. Again, the Hot 100 is the category that is for all genres of music.
Yeah.
So not only did he dominate 2004, that was just a year where every single number one was by a Black artist.
Yes.
Which had never happened before. Right?
But it's a technicality.
Is it?
Yes, because Lean Back is a Fat Joe record, but because Remy is
Ma's
on it, it does make it.
Yeah.
Everybody's Black. But knowing Fat Joe, he's probably like, I'm Black too.
Yes.
So
we know.
It counts.
How he likes to say certain words. Yes. Not anymore.
Well, he's back on it now.
Oh, he's back on it. Okay.
He's back on that narcotic. He was able to leave it alone for a little bit, but he's back on it now.
All right.
But yeah, like you said, 2004 was a major year in terms of
for Black music in general.
Black music plus Fat Joe.
Plus Fat Joe and Black adjacent artists. So speaking of charts, let's go through it because I made some notes.
Okay.
So he was and we're just talking about number one.
Yes.
So he had a number one hit for 28 weeks in 2004.
Yes, that's more than half the year.
More than half the year. So it started with Yeah from February 28th to May 15th.
Yeah.
That's 12 weeks. He was number one.
Yes.
But the song was on the Hot 100 for 47 weeks. So basically the whole year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
And then the only reason it wasn't the entire year is because it came out in February.
Right, exactly. So then it was followed up by Burn from May 22nd to July 3rd. Like, he's on here for whole seasons.
Yeah.
And then Fantasia snuck in for 1 week. And then he took it for another week. So it was number one for 8 weeks overall and on the charts for 30 weeks overall. Then we got Confessions, part two, July 24th to the 31st. So that one only stayed at number one for 2 weeks, but still 25 weeks overall in the charts. My Boo from October 30th to December 4th, 6 weeks. Again, another full season, 26 weeks overall. And then Caught Up peaked at 8, as we talked about already, and 27 weeks overall. And then Lovers and Friends peaked at 3, 22 weeks overall. So it was like Usher year.
Yeah, that is crazy. It set a record that had been set in 1940 by Glenn Miller and his orchestra, who was number one for 26 weeks in 1940. They probably had like
five artists. No, okay, maybe not. But I would imagine in 1940, there was probably less music to consume.
There was less competition to deal with in 1940 versus what Usher was doing in 2004.
Yeah, so long story short, if you don't like numbers and just blanked out all of that stuff, he dominated the entire year.
Yeah, to put it in perspective, you take what I told you about Glenn Miller in 1940. It didn't happen again until 2009 when Drake did it for 29 weeks.
Okay.
And this is including streaming. So we're talking about a time when you're just dealing with physical sales, right, and radio airplay. Mm-hmm. Usher was on the charts for 28 weeks.
No, Usher was number one for 28 weeks.
Yes.
But he was on the charts for basically the whole year.
Yeah. Lady Gaga and Katy Perry basically shifted the pop charts back towards dance-oriented music, mm-hmm, and less hip-hop and R&B, but that wasn't until 2011. This domination of quote-unquote urban music, mm-hmm, started in like 1999. Mm-hmm. So that's a 12-year run, and Usher was at the top of all that. He was before Confessions having number ones on the chart, and then dominating with Confessions, and then a couple after.
Yeah.
Along with a few other people, but nobody was doing it like him. The closest was Black Eyed Peas, mm-hmm, and they did it for 26 weeks, I believe. But outside of that, it was just all Usher all the time.
Well, not only that, like, it wasn't, we're here to basically focus on Confessions, but he didn't stop there.
No.
So just looking at the Hot 100 in totality, he's had 53 songs in the Hot 100 ranging from 1994 to 2022.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
And probably going to be some more songs coming soon because, right, he just released an album, mm-hmm, like 2 months ago.
Exactly. So 1994 to, yeah, 2022.
Yeah, that's a big 30-year run.
Which is, I mean, I guess, like we always say, you know, Twitter and social media, it's not a real place, but it's kind of crazy when he was announced to do the halftime show for the Super Bowl and people were like, Usher. It's like, what do you, right, mean? Like, how is he going to pick songs for 12 to 14 minutes?
Yeah.
And there are people over here talking about he's not big enough.
Yeah, okay. If that's the way you want to play it.
Yeah, so
that's, and trying to downplay wild, the fact that he has a residency in Vegas as if everybody can get one.
Yeah. Like, that renewed how many times too?
How come he can't do arenas? Because he doesn't want to.
Well, he's doing arenas now.
Exactly.
So, so we rushed off to Vegas to go to his last residency shows just to find out not that long after that he's coming to Toronto for 2 nights.
Yeah, he's taking the show on the road. I assume that it's going to be very similar, mm-hmm, to what we saw in Vegas because it's called the Past, Present, and Future Tour. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be that with a little bit of the current album sprinkled in.
Yeah. Well, I say let's try to get some last minute tickets.
Oh, yeah. I'm down to go see it again. That's,
I would like,
problem,
to see it again. I just don't want to fork out all that money. So we're going to try that, you know, wait till the last minute for people to drop their prices trick.
Yeah.
And see if it works for us.
Yeah. We don't have to travel this time.
We don't. So we can just show up.
Away.
We can just show up right before the show.
Exactly. All right. So that is our conversation about Usher's Confessions. Yeah. 20 years, it's still as good as it was when it was released in 2004. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap all this up?
Not really. Okay. Whenever you ask me that, I always feel like I have to like have some witty ending. And then I'm just like, I'm put on the spot. I can't think of anything. Nope.
Hey, you can just say no. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing I have to say is if you do get the opportunity to go see the tour, do it.
Yes.
Because if it's anything like what we saw in Vegas and the halftime show performance, it's going to be amazing.
Yes. And we saw a lot of concerts last year. And I would say the top two was Beyonce and Usher.
I would put Usher at number three.
Okay.
Only because the Force tour with LL,
yeah.
The Roots, Queen Latifah, Jadakiss.
Yeah.
And all of it. That lineup was me because you're the R&B girl in the household. I'm the hip hop guy.
No.
So that one.
I agree with you with like that was a good show. But I think in terms of like overall like performance, like stage stuff, dancers and fanfare. Yeah, that's why I put them two in the top.
That's fair. But like I said, I'll have Usher at number three.
All right.
Just for that reason. But okay. It was still a great show.
It was. We got to see Queen Latifah performing the Living Single.
Right. That's worth
theme song.
That's worth being number two just to see the Living Single theme song live.
And her and Moni Love just cutting up on stage.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Can't beat that at all.
Give me body. Okay, now I'm getting off topic.
On that note, make sure to check out our website for links to the stuff that we talked about in this episode. There's going to be a playlist that I'm putting together. I've decided that for this one, I'm going to mix up the songs on the Confessions playlist to tell the complete story rather than it going back and forth from him going and getting back with his girl and leaving and cheating. I'm going to put all of them together like, I love you, I love you. I did something wrong. I did something wrong. I don't need you no more. So I'm going to put it together.
Okay.
I'm going to get Confessions, the toxic version.
Okay.
Will be the name of that playlist.
All right.
So look out for that. If you want to sign up for our monthly newsletter, you can at troypodcast.com/newsletter. If you want to buy some merch, you can do that at teething.com, teething.com. You got hats, hoodies, bags,
t-shirts,
mugs, all of that good stuff. So go ahead, buy yourself some merch. It's not just podcast merch. We got all sorts of cool shit on here. So check it out, teething.com. Also, we did take some video at the Usher concert, so you can go to our YouTube page if you want to check some of those out as well. And while you're there, you can check out some of our other videos. That's pretty much all I got, and I think we should go ahead and wrap this up because I'm hungry.
I'm hungry, too.
I'm hungry, and the sun is shining right into my face, and I need to move, so
okay.
That's all I got.
All right.
Until next time, you'll be hearing from us in a couple weeks, so bye.
Bye.